Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
God is good
all the time.
Does anybody want to praise Him? Just praise Him right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Well, I want to speak to you just a little bit today about you ready? A new vision for your valley. How many of you go through valleys? Wave at me. You go through difficult times. You go through some, maybe some trials. But today I want to give you, I don't know if I'll get through it all today or not, but I want to say, I'm going to have a new vision for my valley. You may be, how many of you are in a valley today? You feel like you're going through a big trial today. Okay. Well, this word's for you. How many of you have been through them? Valleys. That should include all of us. This word's for you. How many of you know that there's a valley somewhere in your life that is forthcoming? Raise your hand. You know one's coming. This word's for you. This word's for me. This word's for you. Amen? A new vision. But see, we need the new vision for the valley that we go through. We go around life and we start life out. We started out and with great joy, with anticipation, with excitement and all of that, and everything is going on. We find the Lord, and the Lord finds us, and we receive Him, and everything's great. But somewhere along the line, we get into a spot and a place that is called a valley, and we don't know what to do. We tend to have these struggles that we go through, and we start questioning God. We start questioning, I must not have prayed enough. I must not have read my Bible enough. I must not have worshipped enough. Oh, what did I do wrong? Why am I here? Why am I going through this? What is happening? And we get so dumbfounded, with lack of a better word, we sort of like, I'm foggy right now. I don't even know what in the world we're supposed to, what I'm supposed to do in the midst of what I'm going through. How many of you have ever been there? I mean, wave at me. Have you really been there? Am I talking to the right people today? Yeah. I can change messages. If you don't want to know what your new vision about the valley, we can go in a different direction. No, this is the right crowd, right? Yeah. This is the right crowd. We really need to know what it is about this new vision. What new vision? What is the new vision about a valley? You know, but we need to understand that God has not abandoned you. It's not that you have done anything wrong that you're in this valley that you're going through here. See, a valley is like a low place. It's longer than it is wide. Seems like a long time in valleys, but it's in between two high places. In the physical, it's in between two mountains or hilltops, and you have this valley. Spiritually and figuratively, we have this thing that we go through that is sort of like a low place for us, and it's a trial, and it's a difficulty. And sometimes we don't. How many of you have ever gone through a valley and you didn't do too well? Wave at me if you're really going to be honest. I didn't really do too well with that. Well, there's a reason why. We didn't see God's intention in the valley. Say, I must see God's intention for my valley. God has never left you. He's never forsaken you. And He has wonderful plans for you, has wonderful thoughts for you. We need to understand that we matter so much to God that He has written it in this book to communicate it to us, and sometimes we don't get it, and we really do need to get it. A lot of times, you know, I remember people tend to say, all you need to do is just get saved and everything is going to be okay. Well, you know, how'd that work out for you? I mean, you know. Okay in our terms and okay in God's terms, sometimes not on the same page. He says, it's going to be okay. I got this. How many of you know He's got everything about you? Amen. How many of you know He holds everything about you? Amen. How many of you know He has not missed one thing about you? He's not missed one thing happening in your life. He's never caught off guard. He's never surprised. I mean, it's almost like sometimes we feel like, you know, all of a sudden he hears Terry saying,
God, I'm going through this difficult. I'm going through this very. And all of a sudden he says, what? What? Really? Hey, Gabriel, come over here. What are we supposed to do about this? No, it didn't catch him by surprise. He's got it. Say he's got it. It might be tight. It might be hard. It might be rough. It might be lonely. It might be whatever your valley looks like, smells like, tastes like, feels like. God's in it. We need to understand that God's in it. God's in it. Sometimes it gets real intense. How many of you have had an intense valley? Very intense. Didn't think you was ever going to make it. How many of you ever been in one? I didn't think I'd get out of that one. I know what you mean. See, God does not want us to lose our vision. He wants us to have a vision for the valley that we're going through, for the difficulty that we're going through. I wonder why James, the book of James, not you, James, but the book of James says, hey, count it all joy when you go through various temptations and various trials. Count it all joy. Do what? I'm going through a very difficult time here. James says, count it all joy. Huh? Pitch a party. Count it all joy when you go through these difficulties. Now, it didn't say you're going to always be joyful in the middle of it, but you can count it as a joy, because when you connect to God's destiny in your life and my life, no matter what we go through, we're going through it for a purpose. How many of you know God has a purpose for your life? How many of you know God will never leave you nor forsake you? How many of you know that God will always be with you? How many of you are born again? How many of you know God will always be inside you by the power of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit's presence. He'll always say, always. Even in my valley. That's your first thing about your new vision. God is with me even in my valley. God is with me. He is in me even in my valley. He's never left me, nor forsaken me, nor will he. Is that true?
Yes.
All right, now I want you to go to Psalm 23. You need to hear what God says about what you're going through. But if we don't understand how he thinks about us and how he feels about us, we're on the wrong page to begin with. Listen to this. Jeremiah 29. Everybody knows Jeremiah 29:11, right? Look here. God says, I know. Everybody say, he knows.
He knows.
I know the plans that I have for you. What are his plans? He said, I have plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, plans not for calamity, but to give you a future and to give you a hope. That's God's plans. What's his plans? For a well-being. And he's going to give you a future and he's going to give you hope. Say, I've got a future. I've got hope. I've got well-being. Calamity is not in his plan for me. We ought to know that to begin with. Because we have to know what the Lord knows, because he sort of spelled it out. He sort of spelled it out in black and white, right? He told us, here's my plans for you. And by the way, at this time, Israel's in Babylon. They're in captivity for 70 years. They're captivated people. Slaves. Captivated. 70, everybody say 70. Now that's a big valley. 70 years. And in the midst of this, he says, hey, I got plans for you. And here's what they are. They're not for calamity. They had some false prophets that was trying to tell them, peace, peace, everything's everything. No. He said, listen, I didn't send them, and they're not saying what I'm saying. Listen, which means you better listen to what somebody's telling you, including me. And make sure that what I'm telling you is based on the Word of God, and God is saying it. Otherwise, you can swallow something that I may tell you or somebody else may tell you that God ain't saying. I'm telling you the truth.
check it out. I don't care if they're on the TV, on the radio, or whatever it is. Don't take everything as a grain of salt. Just, oh, okay. No, have a Berean spirit about you and go find out if what they're saying is true to the Word of God. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
All right, we have to do that. So we have to find out, what is God saying? What's God telling us? Well, here it is. I have plans. I've got plans for you. Caroline has a future. Caroline's got hope. Caroline has a plan from God with his name all over it. It is not calamity. It's for a hope. It's for a future. It's something that she has been created for, designed to do, and that she will be able to live out just following God. But see, if you and I are going through a difficulty and going through the valley, and we don't hear what God is saying and don't see what God is doing, then we will make up in our own mind, listen to me, what we think this is all about. And most of the time we'll be wrong. That's the reason we need a new vision for our valleys. He goes on and says, this plan is for a future and a hope. He said, you're going to be able to call upon me and come and pray to me, and I'll listen to you. God listens. You need to come to him, and you need to pray. You need to be asking him things. You need to be talking to him. He said, and I'll listen to you. And you will seek me, and you'll find me. And you will search for me with all of your heart. And I will be found by you, declares the Lord. He said, and I will restore your fortunes. They're in Babylon. They're in captivity. He says, and I'm going to restore your fortunes. I like that part, don't you? He's going to restore the fortunes. So, number one, find out what God thinks about you. Listen to this. Listen to this one. Did you find Book of Psalms? If you just do it in the middle, more than likely you'll find it. You know, Psalms 23, 23rd Psalm. Psalm 139 says this. Surely, if I say surely, the darkness will overwhelm me. That's a valley of darkness. Surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night. Even the darkness is not dark to you, Lord. And the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. Now, he's in control, isn't he? Then he says in verse 13, for you have formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb, and I give thanks to you. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. Look at somebody next to you and say, you're a piece of work. Now, isn't that something? You're a piece of work. Yeah. Well, guess what? I'm his piece. You're his piece. You're his piece of work. You may be like me, have a few rough edges around you, but that's what my name means. Smooth Terry. Smooth polished one. Why are y'all laughing? He spent all my life, not his, he spent all my life rubbing me into living up to my name, smooth polished one, instead of having the rough edges. He says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. And my soul knows it well, knows it very well. My soul, my mind, my will, and my emotions know that I am wonderfully, fearfully and wonderfully made, and you made me. You created me. Watch this. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth, your eyes have seen my unformed substance. You know what that means? You knew me. You saw me before I was ever born. Everybody say, before I was born, he saw me. Before you was ever conceived in your mother's womb, he saw you. He saw you from the very beginning. Are you with me? He saw you. He created you. He did it wonderfully. And you're a piece of his work. Now turn to the other one and say, he's not through with me yet. He's still working on us. Look, he said, you saw me before I was ever born, and in your book is written all the days that you have ordained for me, even as yet there was not one of them. He said, you knew my days before they ever came. He counted every one of your days. He knows everything about you. He knows everything about all of your days, and they're written in the book. He knows everything. He knows everything. And it's not because you did it. He knew it before you did it. He knew today would be. He knows what your tomorrow is going to be. He knows what your future. Why? Because he's planned your future. He knows before any days came. He knows what they're going to be like. He knows your valleys. Just as much as he knows your hilltops. Then he goes on in verse 17. How precious also are the thoughts, your thoughts, toward me. Everybody say, how precious are his thoughts toward me. You know what that word precious means? Highly esteemed, extremely valuable, magnificent worth. You want to know what he thought? You know what his thoughts toward you? He highly esteems you. You're extremely valuable to him. You're of magnificent. Magnificent worth. That's his thoughts toward you. And listen to this, that's not all. He said, how vast are the sum of those thoughts, that if I were to count them, they would outnumber the sand on the shore. If I were to count every grain of sand, how many of you know that's a lot? Every little grain of sand, every one of them was accounted for and numbered. He said, your thoughts toward me would vastly outnumber them. He loves you beyond your wildest imagination. And if you don't know that going into a valley, you'll have difficulties, and so will I. So you need to know that his thoughts toward you are absolutely wonderful, powerful. But let me tell you about a valley. Your valleys are unavoidable. Yes? Unavoidable. How do I know that? Jesus says, in this world you shall have tribulation. I didn't like Jesus saying that. But he didn't ask me. I'm just glad he didn't stop there. He didn't put a period and say, y'all boys are going to have a hard time. No, he said, in this valley you're going to have tribulation. Then he says, but be of good cheer. Why? You know, it just don't even make sense to me. It's almost like, what is wrong with this picture? I'm going to have a tribulation time, and you're wanting me to be of good cheer. He didn't put a period there. And he told you why you and I can be of good cheer. What did he say? For I have overcome the world of your tribulation. I'm bigger than your tribulation. I'm the conqueror of your tribulation. I can handle your tribulation. He said, so when you have tribulation, be of good cheer because I've overcome it. He goes, your valleys are unpredictable. This passage gets me over in Matthew chapter 8. The disciples get in the boat and Jesus gets in the boat. How many of you would like to have Jesus in your boat? Wave at me. Yeah, I want Jesus in my boat. Well, guess what? Just as soon as he got in and got settled, the great storm came. That doesn't sound like it's too happy to me. But Jesus is in the boat. And the Bible says that the waves beat up against it, that they thought they were going to drown because they couldn't bail out enough water to keep up. They're thinking they're going down, and they go to him because he's asleep, of all things. I just love this kind of stuff. I mean, this stuff is so real to me. It's like, how many of you went to Jesus and said, wake up, you got to, hey, do you know this is happening? I've had a hard time. Hey, do you know I'm going through a hard time down here? Do you know that the waves are this big and it looks like I'm going down for the third time? I mean, that's reality for me. I don't know about you, but they wake him up. I can't imagine why he's asleep. He's resting. He's at peace, isn't he? He's resting. He's at peace. They're going to the other side, right? But the disciples don't believe it. They think they're going down. They don't think they're going to the other side. They wake him up. He gets up, and Jesus, the Bible says that he stands to his feet, and he says, "Why are y'all afraid? Don't y'all have enough faith?" What's he saying? Don't y'all have enough faith to speak to this thing that's going on in your life? Then he rebukes the storm, and what? It's like it gets smooth as glass. Then they really get afraid. Ooh, ooh, this man can control everything. But see, he tells them, "You're able to do this. Why do you have such little faith?" So they're unpredictable. You think everything's going okay, and all of a sudden, boom, you fall off the edge. You wonder why. No, God, have you ever complained? Has anybody in this room other than me ever complained to God? No, I saw one lie happening, and it was like this. No, we'll have an altar call afterwards, and we'll get all that worked out. No, we've complained to God. Why don't you do something about this? You know, we took Brenda and me and a few of us went to Toronto, Canada, and I'm telling God, when we get up here, I really want you to just impact Brenda's life. I'm telling you the honest truth. I want you to get her. Sicker. Get her. Go up there. Hardly anything happens to Brenda. But everything happens to this boy. He turns me inside out, upside down, wrong side out. And you know what? I mean, I used to wear it. And I'm not against coat and ties. Trust me. I used to wear a coat and tie, but I wore them religiously. You had to, you know, I was told you had to dress up. You have to wear your best for God. You know, if that were true, you'd wear the same thing every Sunday. Because if it's your best today, it'll be your best next Sunday until you buy new clothes. Wouldn't that be boring? But anyway, we go on, and I got this thing about, you know, well, you know, you got to look up, you got to look up, you just got to look, you just got to do this. And out comes the keynote speaker, and he's got a shirt tail that's hanging to his knees. And he's got a wool sweater that looks like one of them wrinkled puppies. And it's down to here. And they introduce him to come up. And I'm like, they made a mistake. He's the janitor. And all of a sudden, this young man, he just comes out. And what comes out of him, I'm telling you, is so much authority of God, so much the Word of God. And I am floored. And I'm like, God, what is going on? He said, "Son, I don't look at your outside. I look at your inside. Man looks on the outside to make this. I'm looking at your heart. I'm looking at your motive. I'm looking at who you are inside. You can pretty any cup on the outside. You don't make it clean on the inside." And that's called religion. Now, did y'all find Psalm 23? I've been waiting a long time. Y'all did make it. Oh, I'm not through here. It's impartial. The valleys are impartial. How do I know that? Because one man hears a word, he builds his house on a rock, and another one builds his house on sand. But the same storms, the same valleys come to both houses. One falls and one stands, even in the storm. So they're impartial. They're full of purpose. They're trying your faith and making you stronger. And everybody say this one. They're temporary. Thank God they're temporary, right? They're temporary. He said, you can greatly rejoice for a little while. You'll be grieved some with your various trials. Everybody say, a little while. All right. Did you find Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me to the path of righteousness, for he is his namesake. All that is about he, him. He does this, he does that. He does this, and he does that. Yes? Now, if you don't know that he's going to take care of it, we're already on the wrong spot. But watch this, the next verse. Listen to this. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All that has to do with valley. All of that has to do with what David is going through. All that has to do with you and I trying to understand, why am I going through this? Watch this. This thing that says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, this yea means it is a bold instruction or introduction. It is a bold introduction of a crowning moment in your life. Yea means that you're standing up and say, hey, I know. It didn't say to ignore you. It didn't say to not say you're going through something. He said, yay, I know I'm going through a hard time. It is a bold announcement of a statement, a crowning statement that you're about to give. That's what this yay is about. It doesn't mean, says, oh, yeah, I'm going through a very hard time. No, it's a bold introduction of a crowning statement that you're about to make. Yay! Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what does he say? I will fear. It is in the valley that you learn not to fear evil. It is in the valley that you learn not to fear evil. How am I going to not to fear evil? Because he says this, for thou art with me. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. See, the rod is to protect you. The staff is to guide you or to rescue you. He uses the rod on the bears and the enemies. He uses the staff with his children. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. So we see in the valley, we learn to be aware of his presence. What did he say? Because thou art with me. So the next valley you in, you say, yeah, I'm going through a difficult time. And you say it boldly because you're saying boldly because you've got a confidence to say, yeah, I'm going through a hard time. But let me tell you something. I'm not afraid. And saying, well, you can't be proud. You can't be bold. Well, listen, David did. But see, David didn't have arrogance. He had a bold confidence in who his God was. He had a bold confidence in who's taking care of him. See, this is the new vision for your valley. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to fear. I'm not going to fear the evil. Why? Because he said, so you begin to understand, you learn to be aware of his presence. Number two, you learn his ability to protect you, his rod. Number three, you learn his ability to guide you, his staff. Number four, you learn to be comforted. Can you find comfort in a valley? Bible says you can. David said you could. You can be comforted even though you're going through a hard place. That's a new vision for your valley. I'm not going through a hard situation here, but let me make this announcement. I'm not afraid because he's with me. And not only that, he's going to protect me in the midst of it. You know, I told you before, he'll hide you. He'll hide you from the enemy. He'll hide you not out of view, but out of reach. He'll hide you. The enemy will see. He says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence. He's still in the valley. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. What does that mean? When you look at that, this table is not just a little old bitty table that just two people sit at. This table is a banquet table. It stretches for a long way. He said, this is a banquet table that I've got. It's over in abundance. He said, in the midst of your enemies, I've prepared a table for you to come and eat. What? In the midst of my valley, I've got a table to eat? Absolutely. Right in the midst of it. Yea, though I walk through the valley. See, this is a bold. We need to be bold. Listen, How many of you have ever gone through a valley and you looked worse when you came out than you did when you went in? Talk to me. You felt worse, you looked worse, you just, I mean, you know, it's just like, and you just do this and say, I thought I'd never get myself out of that thing. Well, guess what? You didn't anyway. But the problem is it gets worse when you and I don't identify with what God's doing in our valley. All of a sudden, you run right smack dab into God, right in the midst of your valley. Thou art with me. Enemies rise up against you. Thou art with me. I've got a table to sit down and eat at. Then he goes on. Watch this. He says, thou anointest my head with oil. Y'all get that? Thou anointest my head with oil. You know what that means? That means great refreshment. You have refreshed me with the oil of gladness. You have poured oil upon me. And you, watch this. There's three aspects of oil. It's smooth to the touch, it's bright to the sight, and it's sweet fragrance to the smell. It's smooth. You can either be hard coming through your valley, or you can be soft. How many of you have ever been hard? You've been hardened by some things. God, that wasn't God's intention. It wasn't God's plan. It was your thought process in the midst of it. You didn't think like he thought. You didn't think his ways. But he said it's smooth to the touch. It brightens to the sight. Rise and shine. That's what he tells us. And it's sweet fragrance to the smell. The Bible tells us, but thanks be to God who leads us in his triumph, leads us to victory in Christ, and manifests through us the sweet aroma of knowing him. And manifests the sweet aroma of knowing him. But it's a victory that I have to get. I'm going through a battle because it's in the midst of this valley. He said, I'm going to give you victory on this thing. If you see it my way, I'm going to give you victory on this thing. And you're going to, watch this. Instead of coming out all beat up, all wore out, all, what happened to you, Pastor? I went through a valley a while ago. I mean, well, was it bad? Oh, well, worst one I've ever, I thought I'd never make it. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. I'm telling you. No, it's just real bad. I mean, who wants to be around that? Yeah, I'm saying, well, oh, man. I ran into Pastor the other day. He was real encouraging. Oh, yeah. No, he wasn't encouraging. I don't want to be around him anymore. No, how would you like to come out of that, or how would you like to come out like this? Thou anointest my head. I am refreshed. Not only that, I'm smooth to the touch. I don't have a hard heart. My heart has been softened by the valley. And not only that, my light is shining brighter than it was when I went in. And not only that, I'm smelling good. Why? It's the aroma of God, of knowing him, that is manifesting its presence. I'd like to go through a valley like that, wouldn't you? And that's what he said we can do. Go through the valley that way instead of dragging, moaning, groaning, murmuring, complaining. Go through the valley that way. The valley of the shadow of death is used in the scripture about 18 times. It means the darkness of understanding, a dangerous land. The shadow. Everybody say, it's a shadow. Yeah. It's just a shadow. Be bold in your perception of what God's doing in your life, even though it's a tight spot, a tight place. A difficult time, a trial. Understand that God is preparing you for greatness, preparing you for a greater thing that is around you, that is forthcoming. Because when you come through this, and you come through it with him in mind and with our praises to him, no matter what, Job says, though you slay me, yet will I praise him. He goes on. He says there's a valley of Achor. It's a valley of trouble. Hosea 2:15 says, I will transform your valley of trouble into a doorway of hope. You got trouble? He's the transformer of it. He said, I will transform your valley of trouble and I will make it a doorway of hope. I will make it a gateway that you can walk through it and have hope. That's his plans, hope in the future. By the way, when it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, that sounds neat. Surely is just like the yea. It's another bold saying. It's another bold introduction. It's another bold announcement that you're making. It means absolutely going to happen. What is absolutely going to happen is I've got a couple of twins that's goodness and mercy. And it's absolutely going to happen. And that word follow me means to intently pursue me with an intention to overtake me. Everybody say, goodness and mercy is pursuing me and going to overtake me. Boy, that's good stuff. I don't care what nobody says. Amen? Surely, what? Surely goodness and mercy. Why are you you're going through this tough time and it doesn't seem to be bothering you. Well, I got surely a mercy that's right all pursue about to overtake me. Right in the midst of my difficult times, goodness and mercies are just overtaking me. Then he goes on, he says, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord. What that means, I will dwell in God's presence. Even in the midst of a valley, I will dwell in God's presence. That's a new vision for you, valley. You need to find it. You need to get it. You need to understand it. He says in Isaiah, says, though you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. Though you pass through the rivers, I'll be with you. They will not overflow you. And though you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. I remember the Hebrew children, don't you? They tied them up. They had their hats, their coats, their shirts, their trousers, even had their hats on. Tied them up, bound them up, heated up the furnace 7 times hotter. And when they opened up the furnace, the people that was guiding them in, the fire just took their life. It was so hot. They threw the Hebrews, some other people who, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to stand at a distance and kick them in, sure enough. So that they go in there, and then all of a sudden the king looks at it and says, hey, didn't we put 3 people in there? Yeah, we did. That's how many we put in there. He said, I see 4 of them. And they're no longer bound. They're free, and they're walking around. Get it? They're walking around. Get them out of there. I want to talk to them. And one of them looks like the Son of God. So they get them out, and he looks at them, and he goes, and the Bible says that even when they got around them, that they went, man, they ain't got a burn mark on them nowhere. They go, they don't even smell like smoke. Why? Because the manifest presence of God is shining through. One more verse, and we'll go. Listen to this. How many of you have ever heard of the Passion Bible? If you don't have one, you need to get one. Listen to this. Listen to this. You ready? Stand to your feet. I want you to listen to this. You get anything out of this? Okay. Listen to this. Passion Bible. Psalm 84. How enriched are they who find their strength in their Lord. Within their hearts are the highways of holiness. Even when their path winds through the dark valley of tears. Now here's a valley of tears. Even when their paths wind through the dark valley of tears, they will dig to find a pleasant pool. They will make it into a place of refreshing springs, while others find only pain. Whew. He gives them a brook of blessing. He filled them with the rain of an outpouring. They grow stronger and stronger with every forward step until they find all of their strength in their God. And the God of all gods will appear before them. Boy, I tell you, you look at that, and even in the valley, when a valley brings you to tears, he says, the one whose heart is after me will go to digging to find the refreshing springs while others look for pain. Even in tears, you're looking for the refreshing of God while others look for pain. He said, and what's going to happen is you're going to run right smack dab in the presence of Almighty God, even in your hardest battle. New vision for your valley. You got it?
Yes.
Amen. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, now's your time. If you don't know Him, you truly don't know Him, now is your time. Anybody? Is that anybody? You'd like to accept Him as your Lord and Savior? Anybody? Okay, then we're all family. Thank you so much for your patience. I know I went over. Thank you so much for your kindness, your patience. Thank you for embracing my family, loving on them. Thank you so much. And always remember this, God is always with you, no matter what it looks like. The ointment that He said He anointed our head with oil, they would put that around the sheep's eyes. And you know why? It would keep the flies away. You know what flies represents in the Bible? Lies. The enemy is the Lord of flies, which He is the Lord of lies. So He anointed us with oil and oil of gladness so we would not see the lies of the enemy. Oh, isn't He good? All right, give Him praise and give Him glory. Amen. God, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.